Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Local news can come at you fast. Want the latest on what's happening in your backyard? Download the free Odyssey app. Follow your local news station, and you'll get alerts on the top stories making headlines in your city. You can stay in the know, no matter what you're up to, and be among the first to find out when news breaks. Plus, keep tabs on weather and traffic, so you're never caught off guard. To get started, download the Odyssey app. That's A-U-D-A-C-Y. And follow your local news station.
97.1 FM Talk.
On-demand audio.
Our friend Ilya Shapiro is on deck. We'll get to him in just a couple of minutes here. Talk about the birthright citizenship issue. A couple things I wanted to drop in here before that. So BMW announced today, and I think this is in some, ironically, some reaction to the, what did Jennings call the whole thing? Like the salute truther? Yeah. I think that's what he called him, the salute truther. So the whole Elon Musk thing. So BMW announced on X today that they are pulling off of X. They're no longer posting on X. They said, we're no longer posting on X. This is the BMW UK account without providing a reason. Don't worry, though. Our customer support team is still here. If you need us, you can see all the latest news by following us on Facebook and Instagram at BMW UK. So the X users are obviously roasting BMW, talking about their history with Nazi Germany. It just doesn't, you know, I think a lot of celebrities have gotten off of, there's nobody that I follow that's off of X. Mm-mm. I mean, there might be a couple of musician types, but most of the people who were on there before the election are still on there. They really are. Mm. The other story was the other one here. Oh, this is good. I posted this on Twitter earlier today. So let me go to my feed because I'm pretty active here on the X, formerly Twitter. You had, well, first of all, Super 70 Sports had a great posting today.
Of course.
I have to mention this too because it was actually a retweet of something that they put up in 23. But if you don't follow Super 70 Sports on the X, they had a picture of a Photomat booth. And we love the Photomat. In today's generation will never understand the joy of dropping off film here to let some weird stranger look through all your personal crap before giving you back some pretty crappy photos in an envelope later. It was awesome. I mean, can you imagine that we did that? Just dropped off little rolls of film and some teenager could look through and see what you were taking pictures of. Our friends at Libs of TikTok, they've been really good at, you know, highlighting some of the nonsense like the new wacko communist superintendent in the Webster Grove School District. But the Webster, this is what people love in Webster, so you get what you deserve. But today they said this. This was earlier today. Meet Julie Scott, a board member for the Wentzville School District. She made a post online comparing President Trump's inauguration to 9/11. After we reached out to the district, fellow board member Renee Henke wrote that she does not endorse the actions of this nature either personally or professionally. So here's what Julie said. Her meme was, I do not feel like I did in 2016. I feel like I did when the plane struck the second tower. We all realized what was happening. So that's what this week is like for her. And somebody had also posted, I'd have to look at this, all these businesses that she apparently had wanted to, and I think she wrote, and I don't know if this is a personal account or the school board account, but she was encouraging people to boycott businesses in Wentzville and in her region if they had supported President Trump. So let's see. I thought I had that list here somewhere. Let me see if I can find it. I don't. But, I don't want to highlight those businesses anyway because we'd want people to go to those. But I thought that was relatively interesting. The fires are really kicking up out in Los Angeles today. Some new ones. And they had control of one that burned a little closer to Comfort, I think. And they put that one out. But this Ventura County one, which is near Oxnard, has really been burning out of control. I don't know where the winds are. They were really whipping around a few hours ago. Our friend Brian Ping will join us at the bottom of the hour with the very latest. I mean, there's just been a lot of complications. There's more questions about what happened, you know, in the I always forget the names of these fires, but the one near Pasadena,
right?
Altadena. I always want to say Arcadia because that's another place like that, but Altadena. But a lot of these people, I said this earlier, they're looking at the amazing response that these crews have right now, the resources that they have, the water that they have, and they're saying, "Wait a second, what? What about us?
Exactly.
Right? And, you know, Trump's going to go out there, and I would hope that he is going to try to help California, but he's putting conditions down, and he should. You know, until they let water go into the reservoirs, why should the federal taxpayers bail anyone out? So I think conditions will be helpful moving forward. But we'll have an update from Brian Ping, plus an audio cut of the day coming up here in just a little bit. But Ilya Shapiro is back with us. He's the director of constitutional studies at the Manhattan Institute. A federal judge today in Seattle blocked the Trump executive order on birthright citizenship. So we're going to talk a little bit about what might happen next. Ilya, how are you this afternoon?
I'm doing all right. It's you know, no news happening this week. I don't know how you're feeling your show.
Yeah, it's. I said that to Carl Cannon earlier this afternoon. There is going to be no challenge in the coming. I could just expand it out to years finding material, right?
Absolutely. I mean, it's resistance 2.0. Although this time the Trump administration is better staffed, and their legal product thus far that we're seeing is much better lawyered.
Well, let's talk about this executive order. Look, they had to know, of course, that there was going to be a legal challenge and a judge stepped in and put a halt to this. Is there, let me just kind of cut to the chase quickly. This may be like the shortest interview ever. I don't think so. But is there a way to do this without a constitutional amendment?
Maybe is the answer.
Okay.
It's an open question. I mean, honestly, I've read some of the literature, but not all of it. And it's an open question whether the 14th Amendment, which says that all people born or naturalized in the United States and subject to the jurisdiction thereof are citizens of the United States. So what does that jurisdiction clause mean? It's really unclear. And there are strong arguments on both sides. This will go to the Supreme Court, no question whatsoever. Today was the first ruling by a judge in Washington State, in Seattle, granted a temporary restraining order against it. But there are half a dozen other lawsuits. There are going to be rulings every which way. And I'm telling you, people ask me, and I say, all I can tell you is that there are viable arguments on both sides. It's certainly not open and shut. And I haven't yet made up my mind.
Yeah, you know, it is a tougher issue, I think, even for me, just doing the research and knowing a little bit about the background. If you wouldn't mind offering a little history here, because obviously the intention of this originally, I believe, and a lot of experts believe, was because of the 13th Amendment, because of slavery, right?
Well, it was a response to a post-Civil War response to Dred Scott, the idea that black people born in America weren't necessarily citizens. And this was correcting that. The thing is, in 1868, when the 14th Amendment was ratified, there was no concept of birth tourism, that is someone who just comes here to give birth, give their offspring citizenship, or illegal entry. You just didn't come across the southern border, take a ship from Europe and come across illegally. If you weren't lawfully entering, they just put you on the next ship back. That's why the question is an open one. Now, it's a little different with permanent residents, what we now call green card holders. There was a case from 1898, for example, that says that the kids of permanent residents do get citizenship. There are earlier cases trying to analogize things to the common law for rights of inheritance. Anyway, this is a very intellectual, deep debate, but subject to the jurisdiction thereof also doesn't just mean subject to criminal jurisdiction. That is, if you can be arrested and prosecuted for a crime, then you're – no, this is – citizenship jurisdiction, a different thing. And as I say, Mark, there are good arguments on both sides.
So what would the, if it gets to the Supreme, so what are the options that they would have? Could they just rule on the executive order? Could they actually make a ruling that indicates that the only way to, you know, to do something otherwise is to have a constitutional amendment? Is that something that they can declare or not?
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Well, if they rule it unconstitutional, then by definition, the consequence of that is that you can only change this by constitutional amendment.
Okay.
Now, it could be a line-drawing issue. That is, they could say we're not ruling on, temporary versus permanent, or, people with long-time student visas, work visas, what have you. We're just taking the order on its face, which deals just with birth tourism and illegal kids of illegal aliens. Without drawing the line wherever it might be. So it's not, fully answering the question, but saying, yeah, this is okay, but you can't deny. Anyway, you get what I mean.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I think if I had to bet right now, I'd say that the court finds some way to block this simply because we've had this understanding for so long that, the kind of the justices in the middle might not want to kind of disrupt this foundational idea of what it is to be American or something like that in a way that's different from, say, the overturning of Roe versus Wade, which was a modern invention just 50 years ago. So that's if I had to bet, but it's not a strong confidence in that prediction.
So the refresh my memory constitutionally here on the amendment. Is that something that has to be voted on by the states, or is it something that the House can do on its own with the Senate? I can't remember that.
It has to be two-thirds of both houses, of each house, and ratified by three-quarters of the states.
So both would have to happen.
Correct.
Yeah. And,
Correct.
It's interesting because I almost think that the issue, if you put this issue to the American people, I think they actually might say, yeah, we don't want birthright citizenship anymore. I don't know if I've seen recent polling, but the problem is it's just getting the process and getting it to the ballots. It's always seemed in the modern era that a constitutional amendment isn't really even possible.
Well, the other way to get a constitutional amendment is to have an Article 5 amendment convention. This has been tried most notably with the balanced budget amendment. The Equal Rights Amendment was in the news, although that was proposed by Congress. But if enough states, if two-thirds of the states propose this amendment, then it gets taken up. Then a limited, potentially limited convention arises to formulate it.
Would you expect that on the court challenges that the Supreme Court would rule relatively quickly, or is this something that could drag on here for a little while?
Hard to tell. At the end of January, we're already at the end of January, and the court ends in June. They can do things on an emergency basis. I mean, look at the TikTok case, right? It was ruled on by the D.C. Circuit, and 3 weeks later, it was ruled on by the Supreme Court.
Yeah.
So we'll see. It's going to be fast and furious for the next little while. Would the Supreme Court want to put it on its docket in time for a late June decision? I don't know.
A lot of questions still remaining. Ilya, always great to have you on. Thank you so much. I appreciate it, and we'll see where this takes us.
And make sure to read my book, Lawless, The Miseducation of America's Elites, just out last week.
Oh, I'm glad that you threw that in. So we've talked about the book. I knew it was coming out, so that's out last week.
Yep. I've been doing the rounds, and it's doing well so far. But every media hit, I press refresh on Amazon, and it does a little bump. So this is the story of the failure and the illiberal takeover of legal education.
All right, do a little bit more of a pitch here because I have a couple minutes. So tell us more about the book because I forgot some of the specifics. No, we got to get the word out. I'm happy to help because I want people to know about this.
Great. If you have the time, I can talk your ear off about it. It builds on my so-called lived experience with Georgetown when I was investigated.
Oh, yeah.
And nearly fired for a tweet, coming up on 3 years ago now of that tweet. To look at the various institutional failures, specifically in legal education, as part of our broader crisis of higher ed. And these are failures of ideology. These are failures of bureaucracy, such that now most universities have more non-teaching administrators than faculty, and a failure of leadership, where deans and presidents and provosts you know, they're generally not woke radicals. They're careerist bureaucrats, and they've been reading their cost-benefit incentives in a way that harms the traditional core mission of any institution of higher education, of open inquiry and academic freedom, civil discourse, in a law school context, understanding and upholding the rule of law. So we're in a dangerous place because, you know, lawyers are the gatekeepers of our political and legal institutions. And if they consider all of those institutions to be illegitimate, well, then the republic crumbles.
First of all, I can't believe that's been 3 years, because we talked about it a lot when it happened. Are you at all optimistic that the proverbial worm has turned just a little bit on this issue?
Well, clearly it's turned a little bit. And in society writ large, we're past peak woke. It doesn't mean that we can rest on our laurels, but there's clearly a pushback, the pendulum, the swinging back, you know, most recently with the slew of anti-DEI executive orders and things like that. In higher education, there's going to be more pressure now from the federal government, but the culture is such, and the critical mass on the, higher ed is divided between the left and the far left. So they have to be brought kicking and screaming due to these external pressures from employers, legislatures, federal investigations, and all the rest of it. I'm less pessimistic than I was 3 years ago. Let me just put it that way.
So when you say, though, some of the leadership is, maybe the leadership of the institutions aren't exactly as woke as the professors, but they're bureaucrats and they don't really care to fix anything. Is that part of that point?
That is part of the point. And it's not necessarily as woke as the professors, and sometimes it's as woke as the bureaucrats, who tend to be even more radical and not steeped in norms of academic inquiry and things like that. And look, the good thing is that the more savvy of the leaders, typically at the more so-called elite places, they recognize that if their institutions are getting a big black eye, they got to change something. You know, the dean of Yale Law School, Heather Durkin, wants to be an Ivy League president someday. And there have been scandal upon scandal that I document in my book, Lawless. And so she said, okay, I got to right this ship, change some policies, hired a very good professor who's on the right, Keith Whittington, a junior professor who clerked for Alito. So she's trying to rehabilitate. That gives me some optimism that, at least for some institutions, this is not across the board. You know, Harvard isn't magically fixed just by having Claudine Gay resign. It'll take sustained pressure to get these reforms.
Well, and you know, I wanted to get your thoughts on that. I'm glad you brought this up at the end. And I mentioned this to Carl Cannon in the last hour. I don't want to waste the audience's time or your time with the whole story. I can share it with you another time. But I have this little interesting developing relationship with the dean of my alma mater, the University of Missouri Journalism School. His name is David Kirpius. He's invited me to come in and tour the school. I haven't been in a little while, and to go to a basketball game in a few weeks. And there was an indication from the dean that he is interested in what even Carl kind of wrote about in the last couple of days, viewpoint diversity, because one of my criticisms has been, hey, there is no viewpoint diversity. You got all this diversity in these newsrooms, supposedly, but there is no, as you know, viewpoint diversity. So I'll keep you posted on that, because I'm a little, you know, curious about where those conversations might take us. And I'll have to take him at his word right now that he's kind of interested in those things.
All right. Well, yeah, keep me posted.
I will. Hey, thank you. Have a great weekend. Thank you, Ilya. We'll talk soon.
Get more at 971talk.com.